Thanks so much for stopping by for this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, and our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And yesterday, Luann, we heard the first half of a conversation you and my dad had with really an incredible woman who has just been through so much in her life. Her story reminded me of the scripture, James 1:12, and it says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him."
Well, our guest, Yvonne Ortega, will no doubt receive that crown of life one day, Ryan. Last time, she talked a lot about her breast cancer diagnosis and treatment. Yvonne also shared about a rather long and abusive marriage. She did stay and continued to stay until one day her ex-husband actually pulled a gun on her. She took her son Brian out of their home and by doing so most likely saved their lives. And we haven't talked about this yet, but unfortunately that son did pass away just a few years ago.
Oh, well, Luann, this lady has walked through some incredibly dark times in her life. And yet there's a joy that just comes through in her voice. I'm sure there was someone listening yesterday who could identify with Yvonne's story and were just lifted out of their despair by her encouragement.
And there's even more to come today. If you missed the first half of our conversation with Yvonne, you can request a CD or listen online at drjamesdobson.org. You might even get a CD to pass along to someone you know who is struggling. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so this would be very appropriate to help someone out who's experiencing breast cancer.
Well, and what a wonderful way to put an arm around a friend. A little bit more about Yvonne before we start. She is a speaker and a licensed professional counselor. She's also written a book about her experience, and we'll be talking about that today. It's called Finding Hope for Your Journey Through Breast Cancer,
which we will link to from drjamesdobson.org. She's also a clinically certified domestic violence counselor, so this woman truly is pouring her life back into serving other hurting people.
And we'll hear more about that part of Yvonne's story in a moment. Luann, you're going to get us started today as you ask her about how her abusive marriage impacted her son when he was younger. So let's join the conversation now on this Family Talk broadcast.
Yvonne, in the midst of this abusive relationship, as we indicated, you had a child. You had a son. What effect did this have on Brian?
Brian became angry and he said, "Mom, we prayed for years. Why didn't God answer us? I'm done with God." I said, "Honey, God made us with a free will." "Well, I don't see any point in praying. I'm done." And he was for about 15 years.
Oh my.
But I never gave up hope. In fact, one day in a moment of desperation, I pulled out the yellow pages and I called every single Bible-believing church in the yellow pages. It took me a day and a half. And I asked them to pray for my son. And I said, "And don't you ever stop until I call you and tell you to stop." And then weekends, I would come home from work and I would lie prostrate on the floor and I would say, "God, I am not going to eat or drink a thing until I've heard from you. You have got to bring my child back to walk with you." We had been in the Bible Memory Association for 7 years. We had been in Awana Club together. He had gone to Awana Camp. He knew 100 scriptures, word perfect, when he was 2 years old.
Oh, my.
And I said, "He belongs to you. And your word, God, says that your word will not return void.
And he who began a good work in you will see it through to the day of completion."
Amen.
Amen.
And I claim that, too.
And having him walk away from the faith may have been the most difficult thing you've been through, even more than cancer. Would you say that?
Yes. I felt he had turned his back on everything that I had taught him and what I stood for.
But when he died, he had a testimony on his lips.
3 years before he passed away, he called me up and he said, "Mom, I'm back in church." And I said, "That's the best thing I've heard in a long time." I said, "This is a Christmas gift, Mother's Day gift. It is a gift." And he said, "All my friends are Christians now." And then he told me, he said, Mom, I got my check and I tithed. Mom, it hurt to tithe.
But to put that in perspective, he literally had spent half of his life walking away from the Lord. If I'm understanding, he walked away from the Lord at 15 and you're saying he called you at 30. Mm-hmm. That's a long time
on, Yvonne. But every time something would happen, he would call me and he'd say, Mom, pray for me. And then he would say, Mom, have the ladies in your Bible study pray for me. Mom, have the ladies in Sunday school class pray for me. And I thought, well, he hasn't turned too far away.
Yeah,
he knew. He knows where the power is.
Mm-hmm. We've alluded to the fact that he's no longer here. He is in heaven. What happened, Yvonne?
He had surgery, and he did not let me or his father know. He wanted to surprise us, and he had not LASIK, but it was called PTK, a type of eye surgery so that he wouldn't have to wear glasses.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of his things. He did not want to wear them. And as far as I know, the surgery went well, but he had Vicodin, and he went into cardiac arrest.
Oh, my.
And that day, and this is why I know that our days are ordained by the Lord, every one of them. You know, as the scripture says, he knows every one of them before one of them happens. His roommate tried to wake him up because he was supposed to go back to the doctor for a checkup and couldn't wake him up. He didn't question it. He took a shower. And when he came back, he told my son's father that Brian was obviously dying, so he called 911.
Mm-hmm.
They were there in a minute and a half. They did everything that would have been done in the ER. It was simply too late.
How did you find out?
I was still praying for him for 2 days. I didn't know that he had passed away.
Oh, my.
And I came home from work. I had done one of my substance abuse groups that night at the agency. And I thought, well, dinner is in the oven warming up. I'll check my email. And the very first thing was an email from a friend in California who was like a second mother to my son. And she said, I'm sorry about the news about Brian. Call me and let me know if I can do anything for you. And I thought, well, what news? So I called her. And I said, this is Yvonne. I got your email. What news are you talking about? And she said, you don't know? I said, know what? She said, Brian passed away. And I thought, oh, no. You know, parents die first, not the child. It can't be, but yes, he had passed away.
And so you were on the opposite coast. He was in California. You're on the East Coast, and you get this news. At that point, you must have said, Lord, enough, enough.
I did say, oh, my God, you know, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You've taken two aunts, my mother, and now my only child. And then when my mom had passed away, I had said, God, the only way this will make sense to me is if you will allow me to lead hundreds or thousands to the Lord. Mom was my best friend. She was my cheerleader. No one can be a friend or a cheerleader like my mom, an encourager. But then a few weeks later, when my only child died, I said, forget the hundreds or thousands. It's millions for Jesus now.
And that is your mission.
That is my mission. That's why I speak. That's why I write.
Can I just ask you, Yvonne, I'm curious. I know the Lord is your strength, but literally, physically, to get up and keep going in those early days following the death of your son, the grief must have been overwhelming. And I just think of that person who is trying to literally get up the next day and go through life and eventually get back into work. How do you do that?
I didn't work the next day. I was supposed to go to a meeting of the National Speakers Association, so I had already taken the time off. But I did immediately send an email to them at the agency to let them know. And so they had counselors come over right away.
Good.
They stayed with me the whole day. They took turns, the secretaries, the case managers, everybody. And I really could not eat that day.
Yeah.
I vomited several times. Mm-hmm. And a friend said, well, have a little bit of water so you don't dehydrate.
But there was a physical response to the grief that you were going with.
Yes.
Yeah.
About 6 o'clock, one of the last counselors there said, Yvonne, I can't leave you alone. And one of my friends from church called and she said, you know, I don't think you should be alone tonight. How about I come spend the night with you? And I said, that's good.
I
would love that.
You're a very independent woman, though. I would imagine at some point it was a little hard to keep taking help from other people.
It was, and especially during breast cancer, because it went on for so many months.
Mm-hmm. And this is your way of giving back, isn't it?
This is my way of giving back. It is now my turn.
Mm-hmm.
It is now my turn to share the hope and the love and the joy and the peace that are possible through the Lord.
You mentioned a moment ago how people reached out to you in this difficult time. And yet, Yvonne, there really is a tendency for us when we're in the middle of grief to want to pull back and isolate ourselves. But you really caution against that.
I do, because when we pull back, that isolation leaves us vulnerable to despair, to depression, and to all the negative feelings that will never bring us out. And we need to get out, even if it's going to a small prayer group, to a small Bible study, meeting with a prayer partner, meeting with an accountability partner. But getting out there, it's so important, because that's where the strength will come.
You sit alone at home, and you're going to have a lot of new problems because we're social creatures. We need each other. We really do need each other. So the tendency is to pull in, but you really need to move out.
And we know that Scripture says Satan is like a lion prowling around. And we've all seen those National Geographic specials where the first tactic of a lion is to isolate, to just kind of pull out from the rest of the herd that one weak, hurting animal that he wants to strike against. And there is safety within the body of Christ especially.
Yes, and you hit the key phrase, the body of Christ. That's what we are. We are members of that body. And so for us, fellowship is so important.
But Yvonne, speak to the woman who says, oh, I don't know anybody. Yvonne, it sounds like you're plugged in. You know people. You know all of these things. I'm not outgoing like you. I can't do this. I can't. Where do I start?
For that introvert, I would say, find one of your extroverted friends and go with her. Go with her to Stonecroft Ministries luncheon. Go with her to church. Go with her to the women's ministry events. Women's ministry does so many wonderful things. And also, we all know somebody. Even when I was not a Christian, I knew people who went to church. And so ask to go with one of those people.
Take that step.
Even if you just sit in the last pew, just be there. The music, the preaching, and the time of fellowship when they shake hands with each other. Those are really warm times that bring peace.
And to the rest of us, I would say, look at the person that's sitting in the back pew. Do not walk out of church without greeting them. The Lord may have sent them there today just for you.
Who can explain the fact that you've gone through a whole lot more than most of us? And in some ways, it doesn't seem fair. But everything is fair in God's economy because he is using everything for his purposes. And you have that attitude toward it, don't you?
Yes, yes. In each situation.
You're not wallowing in self-pity.
Oh, no. In fact, I told God each time a crisis came, use it for good in my life and the lives of others. Let it be to your honor and glory and for furthering your kingdom here on earth. And after the divorce, I told God, I do not want to be angry, bitter, or resentful. I don't want to feel like I'm a poison in society. So whatever you do, God, you do it. Just don't let me stay angry, bitter, or resentful. And I went through the counseling. I went through the support groups. I read so many books. And I listened to your program over and over through so many tears. I'd sit with Kleenex. But God was faithful. And I just knew that if I allowed God, he would use for good each thing that
and
had
he
happened.
Has.
And he has. Hmm. And that's the attitude. God longs to show his love and compassion. He longs to put miracles before our very eyes. But we have to be willing. We need to be like this with our hands outstretched rather than with our fists clenched, mm-hmm. talking about how unfair life has been. Well, the bottom line is life isn't fair. Heaven is fair.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to leave our listeners with today from this book and from your experience? Again, let's summarize. You were a victim of abuse in a marriage that was just extremely rocky, and it didn't make it. Then you have lost your son in a very, very difficult medical situation. You lost your mother, and you lost two aunts and two cousins. You have been through a lot, and you still have a smile on your face. I know the answer to this question, but what's the source of the hope?
Nehemiah says it well. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And when we ask him for strength, he gives it to us. When we ask him for hope, he gives us hope.
For some reason, the Lord values faith more than anything else.
Yes, he
and
does.
Sometimes he lets us go through hard times, I think, to extend our faith and make it real.
And I think that's exactly what happened, because each situation that came up, I dug deeper into the Word. And it said the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And when King Jehoshaphat went to war, he had the singers go at the head of the army. And they were to sing God's praises. And I realized that no matter what happens, God wants me to look to him, to praise him, and to know that just like Joseph, he can turn things around. Mm-hmm. He can bring good from what the enemy meant to destroy us.
Yvonne, I love that scripture that you just quoted, that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. You know, in a very practical way, sometimes if I don't feel like picking up that Bible, or I'm just in a funk, if I will just go and turn on the worship music or turn on the praise music and intentionally take that step of faith and take that one initiative to do that, the Lord is so faithful.
He is. And that was one thing that through all of these times, I played praise and worship music mm-hmm. day and night, mm-hmm. and I would fall asleep listening to it. And even now, my clock radio is set to go off with the iPod playing mm-hmm. praise and worship mm-hmm. music. So that's the first thing I hear when I wake up.
I have to tell you, I mean, my kids see this. I was having a really bad day the other day, and my youngest just literally came up and sat next to me on the couch and very quietly got out his iPod and started playing one of my favorite songs. I'm going to choke mm-hmm. up just saying this. Playing one of my favorite songs. And that just blessed me. If you just practice the presence of God mm-hmm. in your home like that, your children will see that. Those around you will see it. And when you're even too weak to push play on that iPod, oh, I just pray the Lord sends someone else who will come in and push play for you and begin that presence of God in your life.
The scripture Absolutely. Says if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us.
Amen.
And if we take one step in his direction, he takes one in ours. Mm-hmm. And that is really the solution, the answer when the sky does look black and threatening and stormy.
Whether it's cancer or death or abuse, all of these things that you've indicated here, Yvonne, every single one of those, it's not too simplistic to say the answer is Jesus Christ.
And he really is the answer. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yvonne, as a way of ending our program today, would you address directly the person today who's really facing a trial bigger than they are? And many of them are discouraged, I'm sure. And they've reached a point of despair. Talk to them, will you?
Dear brother or sister, I want you to know that God loves you with an everlasting, unconditional love. And you may feel that you've done terrible things. You may feel you don't deserve God's mercy. You may feel there is no hope. But God says those who look to him are radiant. Mm-hmm. Their faces are never covered with shame. God has promised never to leave you nor to forsake you. And you can count on his promises. And if you don't know how to pray, say one word, Jesus. That's enough. And he will turn. He will hear you. Scripture says that he lifts us out of the depths of the mire and mud. And he alone is our hope. He will be your refuge, your strength, your rock, your fortress. He will be your joy. And believe me, there was a time I didn't think I would ever smile again. There was a time I thought I would fill the Atlantic Ocean twice with my tears. But God worked miracles in my life, and he's ready and willing to work miracles in yours too. God bless you. He loves you, and I do too.
Yvonne, continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and let people know that even in the hardest and most difficult of times, you can find him if you look for him. And that's the kind of the message of your life, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I want everyone to know that as long as we're breathing, we have hope. Mm. We're still alive, and we can turn to him.
Blessings to you, my friend.
Oh, Luann, it seemed that every word our guest, Yvonne Ortega, spoke on today's Family Talk broadcast turned us back to our only source of strength in troubled times, and that is Jesus Christ.
You know, Ryan, despite all that she's been through, I can tell you, having sat across from her here in the studio for these two programs, you can see firsthand the joy of the Lord. It just shines through her whole face.
Mm. Well, I'm thinking there's got to be somebody listening that does not understand that. They are going through difficult times today, and they want it. They want that peace. And I want you to know, if that's you, we are here for you at Family Talk.
Give us a call. We would love to tell you more about how you can begin a relationship with Christ. The phone number is 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. Or if you prefer, you can connect online at drjamesdobson.org. And I will tell you, if you do not already own a Bible, there at that website, you can request a complimentary copy from us of the Gospel of John.
And if you already know the Lord, but you are identifying with some of Yvonne's experiences, perhaps you've been in an abusive marriage or lost a child, and you just need to talk and pray with someone about it, again, call us. We are here 24 hours a day. It would be our honor.
And we can, of course, provide you with contact information if you need to speak with a Christian counselor in your area to help you through this time. Again, connect with us first by calling 877-732-6825 or go to drjamesdobson.org, where you can find a copy of Yvonne's book. Again, the title is Finding Hope for Your Journey Through Breast Cancer.
Well, Luann, before we go today, I want to speak directly to those who have been impacted by domestic violence. You do not have to stay in that situation and suffer alone. We have links to some organizations that can help you, and they can be found right now at drjamesdobson.org.
Absolutely. We do not want you to be living in fear, so do go and look at those resources online. Thanks so much for choosing to spend this part of your day with us, and we invite you back next time for more of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Well, hello, everyone. This is James Dobson with Family Talk. I'd like to share a verse with you that I think is one of the most significant passages in Scripture, and one which truly captures what we as a nation are facing today. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." This is a fundamental choice that we're going to face when we head to the polls on Election Day, Tuesday, November the 6th. In so many ways, this country is wallowing in a culture of death, and it's time for God's people to stand for life and righteousness in the public square. So gather your friends, family, and neighbors, and I'll see you at the polls this Election Day, November the 6th.